It is Father's Day, and are we ready? Okay. And let's talk about our Heavenly Father. Many people have a concept of God, and you don't need a renewed mind to have that, or you don't need a renewed mind to believe in God, and that's a good thing. But to know God as our Heavenly Father, where it becomes personal, that only happens by our minds being renewed through the Holy Spirit. And I think even in the church today, there's a great deal of distance that people have. Even though they have a solid belief system, all the scriptures about who God is, they can describe them and recite scriptures all day long. How many people really have a revelation to their heart and life that the God, the creator of all, is their personal Father? That's what Jesus taught the disciples to pray, our Father who art in heaven. It's got to be personal. And I'm just feeling a burden for that this morning. I think that we need to understand that God's wanting to renew our minds so that we can understand this intimate relationship he wants to have with us. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit, live the spiritual life, to be Christians in the world today? I think one scripture that really captures it is in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 14, and we're looking at how Jesus lived. He's our model. It says, "There is one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man, who is, dwells, has his home in heaven." This is what it means to be spiritual. Jesus was human, yet at the same time that he dwelt in this natural plane, it says he dwelt in heaven. What's it talking about? His mind was renewed to God's thoughts. Even though he walked with a human body, he was aware of who the Father was, what the Father was speaking, what the Father was doing. This is what a spiritual life's all about. And in religion, we get it all mixed up. In religion, we focus on the part that we're human, and we're constantly trying to change our humanity, our human experience. We're constantly trying to mold the flesh one way or the other. Well, that was settled on the cross. We're to relate to this flesh as being crucified. What does that mean? God looks at us differently because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
So if you're just trying to improve your humanity, God's not impressed. We're not being on the same page with him. Good or bad, human flesh was dealt with once and for all by Jesus going to the cross. We are new creatures because of his sacrifice. So we're meant to be human. And I think it's the enemy and the devil that gets us off track, where we're constantly focused where we aren't able to make changes. And we get into this religious striving and the sense of futility of wanting to be better, wanting to be different, and never quite getting there. The focus needs to be on having our minds renewed so that we're aware of the truth that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Heaven is no longer a realm that's shut off to us. Because of the fall and the disobedience of Adam, the realm where God was his presence was shut off. Jesus went, and because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, that realm, access to the presence of God, was made available. So to be able, like Jesus, to be able to walk in as human beings, yet in our minds to be aware of the heavenly realm and the Father's presence, is what a walk in the Spirit is all about. So it's a matter of awareness. And God is working to renew our thinking.
Amen.
And I think the problem we have with that, the idea sits well with all of us. Yeah, give me a new mind. Is there anyone in this room that enjoys the mind you have right now? I mean, to me, it's just one giant battleground, right? So we all want a new mind, but I think we have trouble with, I call it the discipline that God brings to bring about that change. It throws us into certain dealings and an uncomfortable place. Ephesians 4:23 says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The renewal we're talking about is not simply new thoughts or just changing certain thoughts. Renewed in the spirit, it goes deeper than our conscious thought. It's what's behind our thoughts. So how do we ever get to that? Well, we can't. That's why we have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
I can barely deal with my conscious thoughts. Subconscious level, how can I get there? I don't have to try to get there. The Holy Spirit goes where we can't go. And if we let Him, He renews the spirit behind our thinking. I don't know that a renewed mind makes you any more intelligent. We could all use our brain cells operating a little better. At least I could. But I know a renewed mind brings us the true awareness of who we are and where we are. We're in God's presence. We're His sons and daughters. Romans 12:2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is." Okay, the renewed mind is what transformation is all about. As our thinking is renewed, that is the will of God.
Hallelujah.
You know, what is the will of God? I should be doing this. I should be doing that. Am I this ministry? Should I be in this church? We get caught up in a lot of things that I'm sure relate to the will of God. But when you think about the will of God for your life, He wants you to have His mind. He wants you to be free, to be able to think His thoughts, to have His perspective, not to be in bondage to the carnal mind or just the natural mind. That is the will of God for us. Areas that help renew our mind. One we're going to talk about is revelation. If you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. I liken the renewed mind is kind of like a bridge. From this natural realm, we have difficulty with God. Why? Because God is spirit. And we look at the scriptures and we say this spirit realm is all these things. And it's great to be able to describe it and to know what the Bible says. But how much better is it to be able to experience it in our awareness? Because God says we dwell with Him. So as God is able to renew our thinking, just see it as a bridge being built. You never stop being human as long as you're alive, but your humanity is not a limitation to God being real to your life. Never, don't buy into that lie.
That's right.
If our minds can be renewed, we can be right where He is, 24/7. This is Jesus, a dialogue between Jesus and Peter, and Jesus is asking Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" Verse 14. "Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You're Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "You're blessed, Peter, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock," what rock?
Revelation.
The revelation that the Father had given him that Jesus was the Christ. "I'll build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it." And he goes on. Revelation is the process the Holy Spirit brings to our thinking to renew our minds. Now what's Jesus doing with Peter? I like this. He's saying, okay, Peter, Jesus knows that people that were expecting the Messiah are really kind of confused because Jesus does not fit the bill. Even though it's right there in the scriptures, the words of the prophets, you go back, there's chapter after chapter about the Messiah. He did not meet the expectations that people had. And yet here they are looking at someone that's bringing teaching that's beyond what they've ever heard, doing miracles. And they go, they know there's someone special here. So he turns to Peter and he says, "Peter, what are people thinking about me? What's their perception? What is their natural mind telling them who I am?" And Peter goes, "Well, you're a prophet, you're this, you're that." With our natural minds, we can never capture the essence of who God is.
Amen.
Who the Son is, who the Holy Spirit is. You just can't do it. The only way is to have our minds renewed by revelation. Revelation does not come because you read your Bible more. I would not discourage anyone from not reading more. But you can memorize these scriptures. It doesn't mean it's a revelation to your heart.
Right.
Revelation is the Father Himself imprinting on your thinking His Word. It's only accomplished through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's in us to lead us into all truth.
Right.
So this process of revelation is something that our natural minds cannot produce. I think we just have to be willing and open and ask. I mean, I know when I started this journey, I was hungry for revelation. I still am.
Amen.
I mean, I knew the Bible pretty well, but I said, when God started speaking to me, I'm going, wow, that's all I want. Holy Spirit, reveal this word. This book, as wonderful as it is a dead letter without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes these truths and writes them on our heart and mind, and that is the process of revelation. Our minds being renewed. Now, very important point with this. Right after this happens, Jesus is talking about going to the cross, and you know the story. Peter says, may that never happen. And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. You're not setting your interest on what God wants, but on yourself, and something to that effect. You are setting your mind on, not mind on God's interest, but man's. You know the problem we have with this thing of revelation is not getting revelation. It's if we're in that process, we have to be willing to have other parts of our thinking exposed for what they are. Because you get revelation does not mean that all of your thoughts are inspired. Now, a religious mind tends to be very rigid, right? If you've ever been in this mindset once or twice in your life, you want everything figured out. You want to be right. People that are religious, they pride themselves on knowing exactly who God is, who He isn't. Everything's got to be right. Very uncomfortable with the process of God exposing parts of their thinking that aren't right. But if we're going to choose to have our mind renewed by revelation, we've got to be willing to be disciplined by the Lord for the thoughts that aren't about His kingdom, that aren't motivated the right way, just like with Peter. Now notice what's happening here. Jesus is not looking at Peter and condemning him. He condemns the source of Peter's conflict. Get thee behind me, Satan. He wasn't calling Peter Satan. He was recognizing that the devil was behind Peter's selfish approach. The thinking he was having, the thoughts he was having, weren't God's thoughts. He didn't condemn Peter. He didn't say, Peter, go to the end of the line here. You're the least disciple now. You're out of the top chosen three here. There was nothing like that. It was a correction that he brought. If we're not willing to be corrected, we resist the process of revelation. Everybody wants the big grand revelation that opens up who God is. Who doesn't want that? But not everybody is open to having their thinking challenged by God. I think with all of us, we need to realize that. No matter how much revelation you have, there's areas of your mind that are not renewed. Don't be condemned about it. We're all a work in progress, but just realize that if I'm going to say yes to revelation, then I'm going to say yes for God to interfere with my thinking that's not right. I give Him permission to correct me so that those areas can be renewed. I guess I could probably stop there, but I won't. What verse we brought last week is Hebrews 11:8. I love that verse. Abraham, when he went out to a place he was to receive for an inheritance, not knowing where he was going. And I've never quite seen it this way with inheritance. You know, we don't earn inheritance. It's a gift. But yet with Abraham, it says he went out where his inheritance was. He still had to step out in faith. I think that's the way God works with us. You don't earn what He has for you, but He's going to cause you to step out of the limitations of your own thinking, that mental box that you've been imprisoned by. And faith renews our thinking. Whenever we, like Abraham, obey God and obey the Spirit by stepping out, it says he didn't know where he was going. That always unsettles us. I don't mind going somewhere new as long as I have a GPS now. I would say a map book, but now it's GPS to get there. But often the way God moves is He says, I want you to go out, and we're waiting for God to finish the sentence. I want you to go to, but He just wants us to get out, and He'll lead us as we're in motion. That type of faith, as unsettling as it is for us, renews the spirit of our mind. We get out of this fear of, unless I know what's happening, I can't move. What's that all about? We want to control things. With our minds, we want to control reality. Well, guess what, folks? Our minds do not control reality. If we're walking with Him, that's what trust is all about. It's like you're in a car, and you're driving a car, and you want to be led by God, and God's your GPS. Okay, God, just give me the coordinates, and I'll drive there. Then God says, okay, move over. I want you to be a passenger now. Right? That's what faith is like. That's as we break out of our fearful thinking, our comfort zone with our thoughts, into that unknown territory, you cease to be the driver. You become the passenger. And you look over at who's supposed to be driving, and you don't see anyone. Why? Because God is spirit. And the spirit's invisible to you, which also brings up fears. Here I am, I'm sitting here and the car is going somewhere. I guess I have to trust you that you can take me where you want me to go. Okay, that's the type of faith that renews our minds. That's the type of faith that breaks us out of what I'd call that prisoner mentality, where we're just prisoners of our old thoughts, preconceived ideas. You remember in, I guess it was Joshua 5, there was a circumcision performed with the Israelites. Now, this was a generation that was not born in Egypt. They were born in the wilderness. And God said, okay, that they haven't been circumcised. Before you go in to take the land, they need to be circumcised. And He said, this day, once it happened, I have rolled off you the reproach of Egypt. Amen. Now, we're talking about faith. And in a way, if you're really allowing God to lead you into this type of faith, the faith like Abraham, where you go out not knowing where you're going, you're being circumcised in a way. It's a discipline. God is cutting through layers of fear in your thinking and insecurity. And it takes courage to step out in that way. But they needed that. The reproach of Egypt. I thought about that. Well, these guys weren't born in Egypt. But they were still carrying all that experience in the wilderness and watching their parents, who never got out of that slave mentality. There was something of a reproach that they still carried that had to be cut out. I think with all of us, we need to recognize there's conditionings, there's fears. There's a reproach of, call it slave mentality. I think that applies to all of us, what we battle. Not seeing us as sons and daughters of the King, but somehow we feel enslaved, that we don't really belong, that whole feeling that comes and sense that comes of being the orphan planet. That reproach has got to be removed. The renewed mind is that circumcision that takes that office so we can totally enter into what God wants. Hebrews 3 and 4 deals with the Israelites that didn't make it into the promised land, and he says they failed to enter in because of unbelief. There therefore remains rest for the people of God. And you read that and you get the sense that he's talking about more than just the physical promised land that they were to take. They actually did enter into that. But there was a rest. There was a relationship with the Father that they never captured. Their minds were never renewed to a point where they could experience that. And what does it come down to? He says they failed to get it because of unbelief. Unbelief, the pockets of unbelief in our thinking, lock our thinking in to the past, into old patterns. Like Abraham, when we're able to step out, not knowing where we're going, those areas are circumcised where we can be set free. Renewal of the mind. And the last one is love. I mean, there's nothing that renews our mind like the love of God. And it makes sense. God is love, right? How can we think like God and think differently without experiencing that love that He is? When we talk about His love, we have to look at this issue of forgiveness. That's how God showed His love for us. He sent His Son and He forgave us. He demonstrated His love. Turn it with me to Luke chapter 7. You can read this later. The woman that poured the costly perfume over Jesus. And he, you know, he had something to say about this that has just never left me. This is Luke 7. You can read it later. He talks about the two debtors and one that's owed more money that is forgiven. He turns to Simon, this starting with verse 40, says, which one of them will love him more? And he says, the one that was forgiven more. And then in response to what this woman gave, which was just like her life savings, I mean, and of course they were upset about the waste. Jesus said, it wasn't a waste. And he made a statement. He goes, he who is forgiven little, loves little. There's something tied into forgiveness and love. The more that we can experience forgiveness, the more that we can forgive, the greater reality his love is in our life. There's a relationship between the two, isn't there? This applies not only for accepting his forgiveness. I mean, that's a hard thing, even for believers, to really believe that we're forgiven.
That's right.
It's not a conditional thing. It's not you're forgiven for a month and then we got to somehow find a way to renew that contract again. It's not this, what have you done for me lately? Anyone that's been in sales work especially, you know, we have that feeling with God. It's kind of like, you know, time goes by and man, I better do something special here. I mean, I haven't jumped through any hoops lately. No, forgiveness is God's heart of love to us. It is a blanket thing. Once it's done, it's done. You are forgiven, past, present, future. To accept that opens us up to an experience of his love. And when that love begins to flow, our thinking changes. No way around it. Now, we also need to apply this with forgiving one another. When we're not in a mood to forgive when we've been wrong. That's why the scriptures talk about, you know, be careful about bitterness and resentment and all these things. Why? When we can't forgive or we don't forgive or we won't forgive, we are locking our thinking in where it can't change. Wherever there's bitterness, wherever there's resentment, your thinking becomes hardened and resistant to God's presence. When we're able to forgive, remember Jesus on the cross, right before the end, what does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgiveness frees your thinking to change, to renewal. When we're able to forgive, he was forgiven much. When that process, the greater that process that works in us, same person loves much. I think we can also say if we're able to forgive much, it just opens up our experience with God's love to a much deeper degree. And the more that love is our experience, the more our mind is being renewed to his. And one example, and close with this, the story of the book of Philemon. I still don't know if I'm pronouncing that right after all these years. Oh well. Very short book. But you know the story. Philemon had a slave, Onesimus, who ran away. Onesimus hooks up with Paul, and while Paul is in prison, he's a great blessing to Paul. So Paul sends Onesimus, this former slave, back to his former owner. And he writes a letter saying, you know, I know this guy ran away from you, but he's been such a great blessing to me. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I wish, I hope, that you can receive him as a brother and recognize what he's been to me. If he's wronged you, Paul said, put it on my account. I'll pay what he owes. This is such a beautiful example of love, the love of God. Here this slave owner, I'm sure, had issues with a slave running off. Now I know back in the first century, slavery was a custom. It's wrong, but it was still part of people's lives. What Paul is saying is, I'm sending this person back to you that you probably harbor resentment toward, maybe bitterness toward. I'm not sending him back to be your slave again and saying, just forgive him and take him back in his old role. I'm sending him back and I want you to accept him in a whole new way. The only way that Philemon could accept Onesimus as a brother would be if he was able to forgive him. Right?
Yes.
What's going on here? Philemon is being challenged to have a renewed mind. To look at an old situation and an old role and let that thinking just melt away and to see something brand new that is what God is doing. I think we have those same choices, don't we? Challenges come up. That's why it talks about in Hebrews 12, the discipline of the Lord, how he disciplines us. Why? Because we do so many things wrong. No, it says he disciplines us because he loves us. See, whenever that love is at work, there's that discipline. What is it getting at? Those pockets where we don't want to forgive. And we're locked into a certain way of thinking. Onesimus, a bad slave. He left me. Oh, he's coming back. He's going to say he's sorry. I can put him back and make him a slave again. No, no, no. To be able to forgive him for running away means that you can think about him in a whole new way and see that he's your brother in the Lord. What a liberating thing that came to Philemon's life through that. Same thing with us. If we're resistant to forgiving, we're resistant to God's love. Amen. We can talk about it all day long. But with our heart, we're saying, I'm not going to forgive. God, I'm keeping your love outside here. And when we hold God's love at arm's distance, what we're saying is no to our minds being renewed. Because once that love comes in, and we start interacting with the love of God, and the more that we can experience that, you can't walk away from that thinking the old way. Your mind is being renewed as it's being exposed to that love. So that's our challenge, isn't it? This is not a religion. The Word, we just learn all the things we need to learn, memorize the Scriptures, have our doctrines all lined up, have our programs running. No, this is a living relationship with a loving Father. And the only way that we can experience that as human beings is to allow His Spirit to renew our minds. That like Jesus, we walk on the earth as human beings, but in our awareness, we're in the heavens, the heaven with the Father. We're able to have His perspective and to share His thoughts. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless the Word to our hearts today. Amen. Amen.